Hello, and welcome to IHS Markets podcast on lithium chemicals. I'm Nick Kovics, the Service Director. I'm joined today with the lithium team to go through the highlights of our July report. Now, on the call with me today, we've got Nell Agate-Choi and Lucas Bednarski in our London office, and Priscilla Ho-Young here in Houston with me. So now that we've reached the midpoint of the year, lithium prices remain depressed, and market consensus has shifted to oversupply. Now, despite this, our demand forecasts still remain positive. And whether this period of oversupply is a short trough or an extended valley is really going to depend on the bigger economic picture. But right now, EV sales are still growing, despite overall auto sales slowing down. Now, if the overall global economy slows down, EVs will likely not be able to continue to buck the trend as they've been doing so. So let's start with that. And Lucas, can you talk about the overall economic situation?
Thanks, Nick. Japan hosted their first G20 summit in Osaka last month. Discussions at the summit showed polarization among representatives of the world's largest economies on a range of topics, from climate change to the outlook on the future of liberalism, which increases the weight of political risk in the market outlook equation. GDP growth projections for China in Q2 were around 6.4%, 0.2% lower than Q1 numbers, making it the slowest growth rate in over two decades. However, a certain amount of goodwill, as seen during Osaka's G20 meeting, to progress on US-China trade relations and the willingness of Chinese government to extend stimulus to maintain target GDP growth rate over around 6.5% for this year, brightens the economic prospects. Looking at the trade relations between the US and China, tariffs that are in place are to remain. However, the next round has been held off. We need to keep in mind that some of the US demands that, if fulfilled, could lead to reconciliation include a reduction of state aid and could hit Chinese strategic high-growth industries, including EV and battery sectors. The demands target the development model that is proven to work and therefore are not likely to be met by China anytime soon. Especially since China is looking for growth drivers elsewhere. It is increasingly opening up its high-yield industries to foreign investment. The legislative changes that make it easier for foreign companies to do business in China include oil and gas, mining, financial and battery industries. Only in June, China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology scrapped the white list of EV battery makers in which solely Chinese companies have been featured. Before that move, EV companies that wished to benefit from subsidies had to source batteries from entities on the white list, limiting business opportunities in Chinese market for Japanese and South Korean battery manufacturers. Now, looking outside of Asia, if we take a look at what's happening in lithium triangle, Chilean President Piñera's approval ratings fell by 25% after only a year in the office, and six ministers have been sacked in June alone. The recent announcement of Chile's Minister of Mining, Baldo Procuriza, to come up with more streamlined application process for lithium mining companies interested in extracting Chile's resources can be seen in a wider context of government initiatives to regain voters' confidence and perhaps increase the lithium compound market share that the country lost since 2014.
Thanks, Lucas. Now, the surprise policy change in China regarding domestic battery sourcing for EVs is pretty significant. Now, it tells me either the government believes domestic producers have the best technology if they're ready to open up to foreign competition, or perhaps they want to make sure that domestic producers don't get complacent in progressing the state of the art for the technology. Regardless, it'll be interesting to see how the demand split plays out for foreign versus domestic producers. Now, speaking of demand, why don't you take us there next, Nell?
Yeah, sure. Within demand, we continue to uncover ambitious plans for ex-China battery capacity, particularly from Europe. The European Commission announced that a commitment of more than 100 billion euros or 113 billion US dollars towards the battery industry will be critical in order to sustainably compete with Asian rivals. The auto industry represents 6.1% of the EU workforce, hence the need to transform skills rather than transplant them elsewhere. We expect to hear more details of European-led joint ventures, transnational partnerships, and new battery factories as a result of this development in the following months. Now, the mobility sector more specifically has also seen its fair share of news flow. Tesla reported record production and deliveries in the second quarter, with deliveries reaching approximately 95,000 units, with about 7,400 still in transit, and production amounted to just over 87,000 units in the second quarter. Despite this record, Tesla stated that orders will still exceed deliveries into the third quarter. We believe the recent spike in Tesla sales were likely encouraged in the US by a pending reduction in the available tax credit for EVs, effective from the 1st of July, where the credit halved to $1,875. Within the grid utility or ESS sector, China's top economic planner has issued an action plan to boost the development of energy storage technology in the coming 2 years, calling for more new energy vehicle power battery storage applications, a raft of new policies from China yet to date relating to energy vehicles, renewables, environment, and energy storage should continue to promote battery demand in these sectors, especially given that the average six-hour ESS battery could handle 70% of realized peak operations in 2017, so it's likely that the average grid-scale battery bank, which currently uses available technology, will also be highly correlated to the rollout of incremental or additional renewable power generation in the coming years. So in summary, and consistent with the theme from last month, we note that tailwinds to demand should remain to encourage further developments across the wider energy storage sector in the coming months. However, as we move further into the second half of the year, we suggest keeping an eye on the scale or volume gap along the supply chain, particularly between midstream processing and downstream cell manufacturing, as that may provide telling signs of the severity of any bottlenecks that persist into the summer period.
Thanks, Nell. It's good to see Tesla making the news for positive stats. I wonder if we'll see another bump in sales at the end of the year when the U.S. subsidy for Tesla goes away completely. Okay, finally, let's go to Priscilla for an update in supply and see what she learned in Chile last month.
Thank you, Nick. Overall, supply is trending towards a slowdown due to slower than anticipated increase in demand and resulting lower lithium prices. Resources announced the delay of one shipment of Mt. Catlin spodumene concentrate from this current second quarter to the third quarter of 2019. Pilbara Minerals has also reduced their production due to processing delays with its offtake partner. Albemarle's investment decision in Wodgina with mineral resources has been delayed to the end of 2019. And POSCO has pulled out of building a battery parts factory in Chile that would utilize lithium carbonate provided by Albemarle. Neo Metals has delayed plans to build a lithium compound refinery in Australia due to higher than expected cost. And finally, Toyota Tsusho Corporation, partners with Orocobre, announced that it would take at least 2 more years to analyze the global electric vehicle market before deciding whether or not to further expand supply. And the second trend is that junior suppliers are still working on funding or financing their projects. For example, AVZ Minerals and Zhejiang Huayou Cobalt formed a strategic partnership for its Monono Lithium and Tin project. Core Lithium has sold 2.5% royalty over production from its Finnish lithium project for $8.125 million to Canadian Lithium Royalty Corporation. These funds will be used for expanding their mineral resources and reserves. Neo Metals has an MOU with an Indian company for developing a lithium refinery in India. MGX Minerals and Eureka Resources have entered into a joint venture on developing a rapid lithium recovery system on Eureka Resources Standing Stone Advanced Wastewater Treatment Facility. And Nick, that's the two main themes with their various activities seen this month of June. Thank you.
Thanks, Priscilla. Now, I heard the word delay quite a lot there. I think this puts the market in an interesting position. On the demand side, you have Tesla indicating that orders are continue to exceed their deliveries, and they hit big delivery numbers last quarter. And also, you have China relaxing subsidy rules to allow foreign producers to supply batteries, and both of these are positive for demand. Now, on the supply side, you have, despite delays, juniors continue to work on financing. Now, if demand continues its current trajectory, and we continue to see production expansion delays, will we see prices turn a corner? Will the financing atmosphere for juniors improve? Well, we see that point in the horizon, but you'll have to read our report to find out when. So until next month, thanks for listening.